Now here, tongue-in-cheek, a little jokingly, I think we find the first independent fundamental Baptist here. Moses, he goes up to get the law. God's dealing with him, and he goes up to get the law, and he comes back down, and they're having their first contemporary service. Amen. The first contemporary service ever was down here at the bottom of the hill, and Moses comes down, and we're going to look at that today, what was going on. And Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's no new thing under the sun. And really, the more you look at the Bible, the more you look at the world, the more you tell that's true. There ain't really nothing new under the sun. The things that are going on today, they were going on back then. And it just kind of goes in cycles, and sin and just wickedness and different types of opposition to truth. But there's almost everything that you look at today, it's happened before. Yeah, we're seeing things at a speed and a pace change like they've never changed in our lifetimes. We're seeing things happen. And it's kind of like everything that you can find in the Bible is happening right now. You know, I mean, all the wickedness that you can find, if you dug through the Old Testament, is all happening right now. And just this last 10, 15 years, everybody's glorying in it. Crazy stuff. But Moses comes back down, and he finds a sight. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. We'll begin in verse number 19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people do unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. So we don't know what's going on with Moses. He's gone, so make us a god. And that's the thing is, people just, they make up gods. And that's what they did here. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. What a thing. What a sight. I mean, here Moses goes up, and not only is God talking with Moses and God giving him the commandments, but God had just showed his mighty power by delivering them out of Egypt. And if you're looking at types here, you can see, you know, I said half jokingly, here's the first independent Baptist, but when you're delivered out of Egypt, they're delivered out of Egypt. That's a type of salvation. Because when you're lost and on your way to hell, you're just part of the world. But then when you get saved, you trust Jesus Christ and call on Christ your Lord and Savior, you're taken out of Egypt. And then, they got out of Egypt, and what did they do? They murmured and complained. And you know what God did when they got out of Egypt? He took care of them anyway. Isn't that something? But the first thing I want to talk about in verse 19, when Moses comes down and sees this mess that's going on down there, says it came to pass as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. The first thing I want to talk about is that calf. They weren't happy with the God that delivered them. They weren't patient. I'll be honest with you, patience is something we struggle with, amen? But they weren't patient enough to wait for Moses to come back. And they created their own God. And, you know, the people today, that's what's wrong with the world, is they, when you talk to them, and the more you witness to them, and the more you brag about Jesus Christ to them, the more they want to create their own God and explain to you how they've created their own God. And sometimes they'll mix a little Jesus into what their God is and say, well, that's fine too. You get the Hindus and stuff like that, they've got a million gods. And Jesus is fine. He could be one of their gods. But he can't be the God. Amen. They've got all these false gods. They just want to blend them together, and we've got all these gods for different things and all this stuff. And, you know, I was talking to a fellow here a while back, and he, you know, I told you this before, I think. I told you, he says, I'm open to all religion. I'm really trying to keep an open mind to all religion and just try to. And I said, well, don't be so open-minded you end up in hell. Amen. I mean, you got to find the truth. I mean, if there's a truth out there, and if there's a bunch of people saying they have it and they don't match up, they can't all be right. But people created their own God. You'll talk to people all the time, and they say, well, I think that I'm, you know, I'm good enough, and I think that when I get there, when I, you know, I witnessed to a guy that I went to school with years ago. The Lord just lined us back up kind of supernaturally and through social media thing. I can't remember how it happened because I don't mess with that stuff generally, but I got it. Somebody messaged me and said something about him or whatever, and I started witnessing to him. And he said, I'm fine. I said, look, man, you want to make sure you're ready when you leave this world. He said, I'm not religious. I said, I'm not talking about being religious. You can be religious and go straight to hell. I'm talking about being saved. I'm talking about what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. He said, well, I'm not really into church, and I'm not really into religion. I said, I want you to be ready, Kenny. When you die and leave this world, I want you to make sure you're ready. He said, I'll be ready. He said it just like that. But he rejected everything I told him about the Bible. And I'm thinking, man, you've never been there before. You've never been to the end. And let me tell you, when you get to the end, it's not going to be, okay, God, I had a $275,000 house, had the best lawn on the block. I did everything I could to help save the trees. And I got me an electric car, and I got me a solar toaster, amen. I was just trying to do everything I could, and I got every vaccine known to man. I went out and done everything I could to help everybody out, amen. I put the president of Pfizer in a better house, amen. I've done everything I could. God's not going to be impressed with any of that stuff. What is going to impress him is what you've done with Jesus Christ. But people create their own gods and say, well, I believe Jesus was a real man, and I believe he was a good man, and I believe he died on Calvary. I just don't know about the... Well, you don't make it by not knowing about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Well, I believe that if I do good to people and I don't hurt anybody, and I said, well, have you ever told a lie? Well, I've never murdered anybody. Ever anybody tell you that? I've never murdered anybody. And I'm like, man, you got a lot higher standard on what sin is than what God does. Because God says if you've lusted in your heart, if you've lied, if you've stolen, you forget murder and you're going to hell. But they want to bring up, they create their own God. They've got this golden calf in their mind and their heart that they, if they don't do these certain things that they don't do, they'll probably be all right. And one of the most dangerous things that I think churches have done and preachers have done and religions have done is tell people, well, we're all born in the image of God. And, you know, we're all just pretty good. We're all going to get there. Well, that's not even true. Adam was created in the image of God. Then he begot sons in his own image, which is a fallen image. This is why Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came to die. But these false gods, people creating these false gods, and Moses comes down and he looks and they've got this golden calf. You know what he was doing? Let's read this again. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. Isn't that something? And he cast the tables out of his hand and broke them beneath the mount. You ever heard of a judge throwing the book at him? Throw the book at him. Here, Moses is so mad. You know what? It made sin, idolatry, made Moses mad. Well, love, love, love. You know, some things ought to make you mad. And sin ought to be one of them. And as a preacher, you know what makes me mad? Sin. It just works my nerve, and the wages of sin is death, and what sin causes makes me mad. Amen? And Moses comes down, all these people he led out of Egypt, and here he is trying to help them out and be a blessing to them, and goes up, gets a hold of God for them, and then he comes back down, and they're worshiping a golden calf, dancing around half naked and running around there doing all this wicked stuff, and Moses is furious. You know, Moses didn't come down off the mountain and say, well, you know, God understands. God is love. You know, he come down and he said, "You, the calf's got to go." Amen. The false gods have to go. All this wicked dance, that's got to stop. And I'm not saying, you know, Baptists don't dance. Hey, David danced before the Lord, but he wasn't doing this stuff. He wasn't doing this stuff, amen. But God had talked with Moses, and he sent him back down there, and then Moses gets down there, there's that golden calf, and we see the calf, and then we see the confusion. You know what the confusion was? They said, look, there's a sound of war down there. It didn't sound like worship. It sounded like war. You ever listen to some of this contemporary garbage? Amen. You ever listen to this new, quote-unquote, Christian music? It doesn't sound like worship. It sounds like war. I mean, it's got the same cadence, the same. You look at the music and the way it's set up, it's got the same thing as you would find in a tribal ritual in an African war zone. Amen. Which, by the way, is where that stuff come from. Amen. Oh, Elvis and the Beatles. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. You get Elvis and the Beatles and Frank Sinatra and them guys together and shake them up in one bag and dump them out, you found three people that messed this country up. Hey, two of those folks, Elvis and the Beatles, you talk about destroying a generation. Amen. I know you all going to have to go home and burn your vinyl now, but amen. That's all right. We'll throw it on the water and you can drink it later. Amen. Now, the Moses stuff, he comes down and he is furious. When's the last time you ever been mad at sin? When's the last time you've been mad at your sin? Amen. Oh, I just can't. I'm a victim, Lord. Good night, Lord. I'm a piece of dirt. I wish this sin would leave me alone. You got a sin that so easily besets you. You ever had that thing just come up and just start knocking on your shoulder? It's your sin. It's the one that you have the most trouble with. And it won't leave you alone. Make you mad. One of these days, that's going to go away. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, sound the last trump, praise the Lord, hopefully today. But Moses comes down, he sees that calf, he sees all the confusion, the dancing and singing, there's a feeling of war instead of a feeling of worship. And then we go to verse number 21, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? We see the compromiser. You know what Aaron did? He said, oh, you want a God? We'll get you one. We'll make you one just like you want. Oh, we'll forget Moses. You know, he was the first. Contemporary co-pastor. Amen. He comes in as the associate pastor, and he's a little more liberal than Moses. Moses wouldn't have built no calf. Amen. So he goes in. He goes, well, did you get you a calf? We see the compromiser. He compromises. Said, well, whatever makes the people happy, whatever you know, whatever gives me a day of rest here. The people want it. The people get it. You know, well, I'm not going to go against them. I'm just going to go with the flow and. And everybody's going to be happy, happy, joy, joy, and all this. And we've got the calf, the confusion, the compromiser. And then when Moses calls him out, Aaron says in verse 22, and Aaron said, let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Now we see the cowardice of Aaron. Sound familiar? Somebody else in the Bible did that. Somebody else in the Bible that did that. And God had told them, when you go in there and you defeat this people, you get rid of all of them and the animals. Amen. And he said, his name was Saul, by the way. And Saul says, oh, I did what the Lord said. Samuel says, what's the bleeding of the... How come I still hear the animals? Oh, I saved them for a sacrifice. And then he said, the people wanted. You know what happened to Saul? God took his spirit, sent him an evil spirit. As far as we know, Saul's in hell right now. Amen. Old Testament, he wasn't saved, sealed, part of the body. As far as we know, Saul's in hell right now. And people are like, well, you know, it's not that big a deal. It is a big deal. Sin's a big deal to God. Remember what Samuel said? He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul says, I save those animals to sacrifice. Well, first of all, they were filthy. God told him to get rid of them. He says, God doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. He'd rather have obedience. Amen. But Aaron, in his cowardice, he blames the people. The right thing for Aaron to do was to say, you know what? We're not building a calf. Y'all are going to wait on Moses. We'll get down here and we'll sing, great is the one that delivered us out of Egypt until you turn blue in the face. But we aren't building the calf. We're not changing the hymnals. We're not going with the new Bible version. Are you with me? We're not going to change the name to Journey. Prosperous Journey. And have a rock concert and dancing girls. We're not going to do that. That's what Aaron should have done, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Ultimately, it was bad for the people. It was all right. It gave Aaron a little bit of reprieve. Aaron's like, okay, good. People got off my back for a day. But ultimately, it cost the people. The compromise, the cowardice. Look at verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked. Now, don't forget this part. For Aaron had made them naked out of their shame, unto their shame among their enemies. Aaron didn't only let them have a golden calf. He made it for them. And then it says it blames him for their nakedness. Amen. All them Baptists and all their standards. I'm against measuring people's dress length and stuff like that and telling people what they got to do and everything. And we have a dress code. The men are going to wear this suit and the women are going to wear that. I'm not for that at all. But if you don't preach standards from the pulpit, you'd be in the same mess Aaron's in. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible word naked is not the same word as naked today. I don't watch TV anymore, but if you did watch TV, if you turn that filthy puke box on, you're going to find out 75% of the people on there are biblically naked. You say, well, they're wearing this, that. They're not covered. What the Bible calls naked is not the same as what man calls naked. Amen. Modest apparel. Well, they're wearing two Band-Aids and a shoestring. That's not naked. No, that's naked. That's biblically naked. Amen. It is. And you know what the problem is? A heart problem? And too many errands. Too many errands. The cowardice. The carnality. They were having a big old flesh fest down there. Their gospel concert, quote unquote. Their contemporary vibe. And then Moses comes along in verse 26, and he tells them, Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Isn't that something? Out of all the people there, the Levites are the ones that come to him. Listen to that, what he said, though. There's a song about it. Who is on the Lord's side? An old song, good hymnal song. And that's the question. In 2024, that's the question. Who's on the Lord's side? Well, I just want to be happy. I just want to feel good. I just want to get along with everybody. And I'm not saying you should intentionally not get along with people. But who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? The people that weren't on the Lord's side weren't getting along with the people that were on the Lord's side, obviously. Amen? The command to separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So it's not that big a deal. You preachers make too much of this stuff, do we? Look at 27 and 28. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. We see the cost. You know what the cost of Aaron's compromise was? It cost 3,000 people their life. 3,000 people their life. And look, I have a flesh. My flesh rebels too. I'm preaching down to you like we don't all struggle. But I will warn you, and I'm not telling you this for my benefit. If it works out for my benefit, praise the Lord. But I'm not telling you this for my benefit. Be careful when you're mad at the preacher. To pray about and see what you're really mad at. I mean, I'm not saying I can't give you reason to get mad. I mean, good night. My wife will testify on that one. Amen. But I'm saying when you get upset with the preacher, you better make sure you're not upset with God and taking it out on the preacher. Because the preacher, Moses, was telling them the truth. They rejected it, and 3,000 of them died. And let me tell you, judgment's still coming. If you're saved, you're still going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And this has nothing to do with me when I'm talking about whether you're mad at God or the preacher. Whatever. The Lord take care of me. But what it has to do with was you're standing before Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I didn't know. The preacher didn't say. And he said, the preacher said it, but you wouldn't hear it. Amen. You wouldn't accept it. You wouldn't change it. Now, let me put this caveat in there. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to tell me the same thing. You're going to tell me the same thing. I give you my word, and you rejected this here, you rejected that there. I talked to you here, you didn't get right until here. You didn't stay. We're all going to stand there at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to find out we didn't do a lot of things we should have done and didn't get things right a lot of ways we should have got right. But I'm just telling you right now that if they had listened to Moses instead of Aaron, there are good independent fundamental Baptist churches all over the country right now that are empty. You know why? Because there's an Aaron down the street with a golden calf and the nudity and the music and the filth and the garbage and the carnival flesh fest, the contemporary junk, and then go down there instead. My question is, who's on the Lord's side? I'm not saying these people aren't saved. I mean, these are God's chosen people. He called them out of Egypt. God had a heart for them. But I'm just saying, who's on the Lord's side? The calf, the confusion, the compromiser, the cowardice, the carnality, the command, the cost. 3,000 lives. You get over the other side of this thing, you know what? 3,000 lives, they're lost at the time of the law. You get over there and Peter starts preaching, and guess what? 3,000 get saved. Isn't that something? So the devil's taking them out here, and God's putting them in the other end. He's doing it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Aren't you glad you're saved? Oh, man, praise the Lord. He is worthy, amen? He is worthy. Hey, the best you could be would split hell wide open without the blood of Jesus Christ. The best you could be after salvation without the guidance and the following and you following the Holy Spirit is still a mess, amen? That calf, that confusion, that compromiser. You know, the spirit of compromise is stronger today than it's probably ever been. It's not just church folks jumping ship, man. Pastors are doing it everywhere. They're changing the name, throwing the book away, getting away from the truth. We can get in there and sing Kumbaya and get the money to come in better and all that stuff. Well, you know what Peter and them said? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. It's not about the dineros. It's about the Jesus Christ. The cost, and it all goes back to 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. The choice. If you're here today and you're lost, you're going to split hell wide open, and you'll get in there and you'll burn forever. You'll get out just long enough, the white throne judgment, he cast you in a lake of fire for eternity. But if you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, there's a choice you have to make every single day, even though you're going to heaven. Who's on the Lord's side? Every time the devil rears his ugly head, every time that sin comes up, every time that sin that so easily besets you starts tapping on your shoulder, every time the preacher says, hey, there's an altar call and you can get right with God right now, and the devil's saying, no, stay in your seat. People are going to know you're wicked. Let me just take all that away from the devil right now. You're all wicked. We're all wicked. Jesus Christ is the only one that's good. God is good. So when the devil says, don't go to the front, don't hit your face, don't get right with God, it'd be embarrassing. How embarrassed are you going to be when you stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and he says, you could have, but you didn't get right with God? It's about a choice. 3,000 lives gone because Aaron decided he wanted to take his foot off the gas a little bit while Moses was gone. Quit going forward for the Lord. Take a little break. Let's have a little fun. I'm not saying you can't have fun in church. I think we have a lot of fun in church. I think singing about Jesus Christ is the most fun you'll ever have. Fellowship dinners and all that stuff's great. I enjoy them. I think it's great. I think you can have fun in church. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But Aaron said, let's get rid of the old stuff. I think this new way will work better. And everybody will be happy. And I think for a day or two, while they were down there doing this mess, because sin's pleasurable for a season, according to the Word of God, they were pretty happy. They thought they were doing all right. They were getting away with something. And then here it comes, the cost. But it's all about choice. It's all about choice. Oh, how would a loving God, how could a loving God cast anyone to hell forever, a lake of fire for eternity? How could a loving God do that? Well, you know what a loving God does? A loving God looks down and he sees the people and he says, they're just dust. They have no hope. They have no help. The only thing I can do is send my only begotten Son down there to die for. And Jesus Christ came. He became sin for you on Calvary. He died, took your sin debt to hell, dropped it off, rose again the third day, and he's alive forevermore at the right hand of the Father right now. That's a loving God. See, the God they're looking at, that's another one of their golden calves. That's not the real God. The real God's not the one that just says, let's just throw everybody in hell. The real God says, I don't want anybody to go to hell. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus Christ came, God in the flesh, and paid the sin debt for the entire world. The ticket has been punched for everybody. All they have to do is reach out and take it so they can make it to eternity in heaven. That's a loving God. Every single person that ever lived besides Jesus Christ deserved to go to hell. And Jesus Christ died for everyone. I'm a dispensationalist. I believe we're leaving in a rapture soon, and I believe there's going to be a tribulation time for Israel, and I believe there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and I believe I can show you from that book, and you'd have to be blind to not see it. But I'll tell you this, there ain't nobody going into eternity that's not going to be bragging on Jesus Christ for it. Amen. Those folks in the Old Testament went to Abraham's bosom. Jesus Christ died, went to Abraham's bosom, and took them out of there. They didn't go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to heaven until the blood was shed and he come and got them. Everybody in eternity that's not burning in a lake of fire will be bragging on Jesus Christ for it. Who's on the Lord's side? Hey, if you're here today and you're lost, you're on the devil's side. It ain't popular preaching, but I'm going to tell you something. 50 years ago, everybody was preaching it. Because it's the truth. Oh, we're all children of God. No, you're a child of the devil if you're lost. You're part of the generation of vipers that Jesus Christ was preaching against. But if you're saved, you've been adopted into the family of God, you're born again, you've been placed in Christ, you're as good as air right now, because spiritually speaking, you're in Christ, and he's at the right hand of God the Father right this second. But it's about a choice. I mean, you don't have to leave. You don't have to walk out this door with a child of the devil. You can call on Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you and save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That thou shalt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe you're a sinner, you believe Jesus Christ was died, buried, and rose again, and if you'll just cry out to him and say, Lord, I'm wicked, I deserve to die, and then go to hell, I realize that. You paid my debt, I'm trusting you and you alone, save me. It's a choice. If all there was to it was just salvation, if that's all there was to it, I'd stay in the jail ministry. I'd stay in the jail. I see more people saved in a month in the jail ministry than I have in the last 5 years. You know why? Because they're guilty. They're guilty and they know it. But that's not what it's all about. It's all about a king and his kingdom. And it's all about you, if you're a child of God, standing before that king. And hopefully having something to lay back at his feet. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Moses comes down from there. Boy, can you imagine? Moses was so close to God. He had to be beaming. And he comes down. I mean, he's on a spiritual plateau like no man had ever seen to that point other than maybe Adam. And he comes down. And they think it's a war going on down there. And there is a war going on. But God's people are losing. And they're laughing. And they're dancing. And they're singing. But they're losing the war. Because the battle is over doing right. And making the choice to do right, and they weren't doing it. And he sees the calf. He hears the confusion. He calls out the compromiser. Recognizes the cowardice. Overwhelmed by the carnality. And he puts out a command. Who's on the Lord's side? Go to me. Who's on the Lord's side? When you go back to work Monday, Tuesday, whenever you go back, tonight, whatever, whose side are you on? I mean, we know whose side most people are on. They go out, they drink the booze on their break. They'll tell the filthy jokes. They'll steal from the company. Amen. Oh, it's just, they've got plenty of them, you know. It's just a case of Band-Aids. They've got plenty of them. It's just a box of ink pens. They've got plenty of them. Oh, they'll do that stuff. We know who's on the devil's side. The question is, who's on the Lord's side? You say, well, I'm saved and I'm sealed. You are. You are. You're saved. You're sealed. He still sees everything. And he knows who's on his side. He knows who's on his side. And that cost. I hope everybody in here is saved and on your way to heaven. And I hope everybody in here one day at the judgment seat of Christ won't have everything burn up. But we'll see some rewards come through that. And we'll be able to lay them back at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, Thou art worthy to receive glory, honor, power, praise. Just keep on going down the list. But boy, the thought of going in there empty-handed and saying, Lord, thanks. Amen. Who's on the Lord's side? You know, the people on the Lord's side today will pray for lost souls. We'll get a track to those they're worried about. Maybe even get to witness face to face to folks. Suffer a little persecution for Jesus Christ. Be uncomfortable for Jesus Christ. And stand before Him one day and be thanked by Jesus Christ. Could you imagine that? Well done, our good and faithful servant. Some of y'all probably hear that. I probably won't. They'll just say, you just got by, idiot. Go on. But I hope everybody in here has an armload of stuff to dump back at Jesus' feet and say, "You are worthy. You are worthy." You got to choose a side. And if you're saved, you got to choose that side all the time. Because there's always a pull. There's always that sin. And there's always the opportunity to go the wrong way. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.